Z-Trim Appetite Control is perfect for taking the edge off hunger.
I lost 6 pounds the first week and never felt hungry.
I lost a full pant size.
I've lost 15 pounds in 2 months without dieting.
Without dieting.
You're hearing the success stories of people who have discovered Z-Trim Appetite Control. Developed by the USDA, all-natural Z-Trim helps you feel satisfied before you eat more than you should.
I can breeze through work without distracting hunger pains.
I don't have to exercise and I still eat the foods that I love.
Z-Trim Appetite Control is a healthy way to help manage your weight regardless of diet or exercise.
I simply take 2 capsules before each meal.
Z-Trim Appetite Control is fantastic.
For people who need to manage their weight with limited physical activity, Z-Trim provides a naturally healthy option.
To order Z-Trim Appetite Control capsules made with USDA-developed Z-Trim, go to ztrim.com. That's ztrim.com. And enter the code word NATURAL for a 10% listener discount. Or call 1-877-MY-Z-Trim. The only thing you have to lose is weight.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here. It'll come out in just a second. Malloy here on Nova M Radio. Thanks for tuning in. I'm glad you found us. I know a lot of people are still looking for this program since we were fired so unceremoniously by Air America back in August. Well, we've been here since the second last day in October, so tell your friends. We are now on KPO. What's the Sacramento station? Are we on the Sacramento station, Kathy? We are there though. Oh, that's right. Well, Portland. Are we on Portland yet? We're not on Portland yet. Okay. Yes.
I believe we're starting with the S's. I know we're on Sacramento, San Francisco, Seattle, and San Diego.
San Diego?
Yes. So now we're working on different letters of the alphabet.
Well, let's get to the N's, like New York, Newark.
New Orleans. New Jersey.
That's not a city.
Oh.
But that's all right. The reason I mention that is in a totally unrelated email I got from Jim in Nebraska. Subject line says, right-wing wackos on school boards. Talking about that story we did last night about Federal Way, Washington, the state of Washington, where Al Gore's movie is just a little bit too much for these people. Mike, love your show. I found it via the Internet and Nova. Nova M. I am on my child's local school board here in eastern Nebraska. We are the redneckiest state north of the Mason-Dixon line. I enticed another left-winger to run, and she gained a spot on the board also this last election. At the last meeting, one of the board members commented about the fact that An Inconvenient Truth, Al Gore's film, was shown to his son in a social studies class. This parent made the Limbaugh comments about it being a false science, but was not bold enough to take it any further when he saw how myself, our newest board member, and a superintendent, emboldened by the two outright liberals on the board, quickly rebutted his ignorance. We do not need to take our kids to private schools. We just need to be on the school boards so the idiots are shown to be just what they are, idiots. The quickest way to bring back America is for Americans to participate in their local governments, all the way down to school board. Yeah, Jim is absolutely right, and we all know that. School boards, county commissions, tax assessor's offices. One of the most important is the Board of Elections. Public Utilities Commission. There are so many local elected positions that trickle up trickle the power up. You have Democrats in control of the school board and the election board and the Public Utilities Commission and this and that and this and that. All of a sudden, you have a power base from which Democrats can then go ahead and run for the city council, county commission, the state's general assembly or legislature, the House and the Senate, and all the way up into Congress. The grassroots, remember what has been said over and over and over, most famously by Saul Alinsky, organize, organize, organize. Our chief North Metro Atlanta correspondent, Sharon, who writes into us periodically, she is very much of an American. I just love Sharon to pieces. She and I have never met, but we've been emailing each other for 15 years, 18 years. Goes all the way back, I think, to the WSB days. And Sharon is very much pro-military when the military is used for the function that it was designed to be used, and that is for national defense. Sharon writes to me, I sure am glad we liberated the good folks of Iraq so they could execute and torture people just like Saddam did. My God, why would a noose snap a man's head off? Was the noose made of razor wire? Did the guy weigh roughly the same as my truck? What the hell is going on? Apparently the Iraqis we put in charge are as barbaric as we are. O.J. Simpson wouldn't have the stomach to watch these executions. I think I'm going to be sick. Sharon. Yeah, the... who was it? Saddam Hussein's half-brother, Barzan Ibrahim al-Tikriti, the former chief of Mr. Hussein's secret police. Now, a lot of people will say, well, Jesus Christ, I mean, the head of Saddam's secret police, they should have cut little one-inch pieces of his body off and keep cutting until he died. Why does anyone care if someone is decapitated when they're hanged? Well, I think for a very simple reason, and that is because we are not them. We don't cut off heads. We're not even the French anymore. We don't use a guillotine. We just don't do that. We are much more civilized. We electrocute people. We tie them down on tables and stick needles in their arms, some of which work, some of which don't. There are a couple of states here in the United States where we still, or one, where we still use firing squad. If the person facing the death penalty chooses it. It is, Sharon's right, though. It is... I mean, if you're going to decapitate, if you're going to execute someone by decapitation, for God's sake, do it. The implication that I've read now on several Middle Eastern websites is that this was deliberate. It is these hangings are not done, in my opinion, in the name of justice. They're done in the name of revenge. And I guess in certain parts of the world, in maybe most of the world at this point, revenge is an adequate reason to execute somebody. In other parts of the world, justice is sought, or at least the idea of justice is sought, sometimes, maybe, depending on the class of the perpetrator, sometimes the race of the perpetrator, the religious beliefs or lack thereof of the perpetrator. But let's face it, y'all, the Middle East is not Wichita. You know, downtown Baghdad is not San Francisco. Tikrit is not Savannah, Georgia. There's a whole different attitude. What George W. Bush has done, he has participated in releasing whatever bounds were there holding this kind of violence, this murderous rage in check. I'm not saying that Saddam Hussein held it in check. I'm saying that when George Bush decided that for whatever reason that he was going to get Saddam and get the oil and destabilize and overturn the entire country. As bad as that was, perhaps George Bush could have at least thought of ways to maintain order as he went about his theft. But that's not what George Bush is about. He's about murder and mayhem and bloodlust unlike any I've ever seen. He astonishes me, I'll tell you, in an American. He just astonishes me. From what I understand, the rope was made long enough so that the falling body of Mr. Al-Tikriti gained enough momentum that when the body reached the end of the rope, there was no question it was going to just sever the head, just snap right off. You see, just like administering electric shocks to kill someone or administering injections of drugs to kill someone, there is a protocol for hanging someone. The United States military has had this protocol on the books for a number of years. And the length of the fall of the person to be executed has got to be plotted and charted vis-a-vis the perpetrator's height, weight, how much he's squirming. And apparently in the case of Mr. Al-Tikriti, they deliberately let the rope be long enough that his head would come off. Ah, jeez.
Bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malone.
21 past the hour. The United Nations says that 34,000 Iraqi civilians were killed in the violence last year. Of course, there was a bombing today, another one today, that got, what, Kathy, over 100 people. Two bombings, apparently targeting Shiite neighborhoods. This is in response, I'm sure, to the decapitation of Saddam's Sunni half-brother. One of the bombings near university occurred when students were leaving classes for the day. That wiped out about 65. Another used motorcycle marketplace killed another 30. The first bomb was attached to a motorcycle in the market. The second, two minivans exploded near the university as the students were boarding vehicles to go home. Man, oh man, oh man. The UN report also said in addition to 34,452 civilians killed, 36,685 were wounded, 30,842 are in detention in the country as of December 31st, including 14,500 in detention facilities run by U.S.-led multinational forces. Oh, also, 12,000 police officers have been killed since the war started in 2003. And this is done by insurgents who see these police as collaborating with the U.S. effort in Iraq. This is what makes Bush's madness even more insane. This idea of embedding American troops with Iraqis, or putting American soldiers into these police stations where they're all going to bunk down at night. If this happens, and I realize Mirtha was talking on the weekend about introducing a resolution to cut off the funding. If this happens, though, if these soldiers do show up there and are put in the position that Bush is talking about, we will probably lose 400 or 500 American soldiers just, I don't know, within 5 or 6 weeks. It's going to be horrifying. And regarding all these deaths that we are directly responsible for, this is just last year. Jesus, don't even talk about the last 14 years. Don writes in, we should be reminiscent of the recourse brought about by the murder of the first human according to Christian mythology, Abel. The punishment that was brought for the death of one human, imagine the outcome to be brought about by these new numbers. And it's from Genesis 4, verses 9 through 11. Later on, Jehovah said to Cain, "Where's Abel, your brother?" And Cain responded, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And at this, Jehovah said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. And now you are cursed in banishment from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood at your hand." Woo. Of course, old God gets a little confused, though, doesn't he? I mean, he really does. He gets all pissed off because Cain slays Abel, but then he tells Joshua to go into Canaan and murder anyone that's breathing. I think this particular God, this Jewish, Christian, Muslim God, is out of his freaking mind, frankly. The Iraqi Interior Ministry has been accused of being one huge Shiite hit squad, which is responsible for much of the death going on in Baghdad. And, of course, they work for and are funded by the Americans, who have been revealed time and again to lower the Iraqi death count or ignore it altogether. This is from, I don't know where this is from. It says, the Bush administration routinely has underreported the level of violence in Iraq in order to disguise its policy failings, the Iraq Study Group report said. How about that? On page 94 of its report, the Iraq Study Group found that there had been, quote, significant underreporting of the violence in Iraq, end quote. The reason, the group said, was because the tracking system was designed in a way that minimized the deaths of Iraqis. Quote, the standard for recording attacks acts as a filter to keep events out of reports and databases. A murder of an Iraqi is not necessarily counted as an attack. If we cannot determine the source of a sectarian attack, that assault does not make it into the database. A roadside bomb or a rocket or mortar attack that doesn't hurt U.S. personnel doesn't count. Well, I'll tell you, this Christian God, when George Bush finally goes to meet him, this Christian God is going to do something horrifying to George Bush. Just something that you and I can't even conceive of. I wonder what they meant when they said,
you know, it'll take time to restore chaos and order, but we will.
Oh, God. For people listening in Sacramento, in a minute, I want to let you know about Cindy Sheehan is going to be in your city this Friday at two events, and I want to tell you where it's going to be. So, Sacramento listeners, if you want to get something to write with. From Channel 4 in the U.K., Television Channel 4 in the United Kingdom, a story about the suicide rate for U.S. soldiers who have served in Iraq is double. It has doubled what the suicide rate for U.S. military is in peacetime. Now, it doesn't say how that compares with any of the other military incursions that we've been involved in since World War II. It doesn't talk about World War II either. But the quick report on Channel 4 says it's a silent toll among the American men and women serving in Iraq. While over 3,000 American soldiers have died in hostilities, a growing number have taken their own lives, often because of the horrors of fighting the war. The Pentagon has been criticized for its reluctance to give out clear figures on the problem. But the statistics do show the suicide rate in Iraq is double what it was for the U.S. Army in peacetime. The Pentagon has also been accused of not doing enough to treat the mental health of troops who are now being asked to do increasingly longer and more frequent tours. You know, that's the thing that is insane. This small group, and it is a small group, of soldiers and Marines who are being asked to go back again and again and again. How many times are you supposed to play Russian roulette? Do you remember in The Deer Hunter when the four buddies, or I guess it was down to three, were in a North Vietnamese or a Viet Cong prison compound out in the jungle, and the Vietnamese soldiers kept pulling Americans out of the tiger cages and bringing them into a room where they were forced to play a kind of a weird game of Russian roulette, handed a gun, one bullet in the chamber, and two American prisoners would be sitting there. And like spin the bottle, wherever the barrel pointed, that person, that American prisoner, had to pick up the gun and put it to his head and pull the trigger. Do you remember that? Graphic, unbelievably horrifying part of that movie, The Deer Hunter. A lot of people saw it, said it was decidedly anti-Vietnamese. When I saw it, I didn't get that feeling at all. I just saw it. I felt like it was showing the horrors of war, on that kind of a war. You know, when you invade somebody's country and start killing them by the millions, what the hell are they supposed to do? I don't mean to justify what happens to POWs, no matter what the war, but horrifying. But when I read this this report about the Americans' suicide rate doubling because they're being shipped back and again and again and again and again by this bastard in the White House. Which brings up the story, I don't know if you've seen it, but so far, about 1,000 active duty soldiers and Marines from E1s all the way up to O6s have signed a petition, online petition, that's going to be taken and given to Congress. They have a right to do this. As a matter of fact, it was presented this morning. On hand to accept the petition, group members say will be Representative Dennis Kucinich, Democrat of Ohio. Now, this comes out of an effort by soldiers, and during MLK holiday yesterday, according to the Air Force Times, that's where this article is. It's written by a staff writer. It's not an AP pickup story. It's written by a staff writer for the Air Force Times. A small group of out-of-uniform active-duty service members, supported by veterans and academics, gathered inside a Norfolk, Virginia church on Martin Luther King Jr. Day to hold a rally calling for the immediate withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq. Speakers invoked King's message of nonviolent resistance, along with his eventual opposition to the Vietnam War, as an example worth following during a war, many at the rally said, echoes that controversial conflict of an earlier generation and is a war that should end now. Marine Corps Sergeant Liam Madden, speaking to a crowd of about 80, not including reporters, said, quote, They were in a Unitarian Universalist church in downtown Norfolk. Quote, it is time for U.S. troops to come home. End quote. He said active duty troops have the right to speak out. And he said his opposition to the war is not driven by politics. Madden, who is 22, stationed at Quantico Marine Corps Base and who served in Iraq with the 31st Marine Expeditionary Unit as a communications specialist, said, quote, it's not political when people heed the call of their conscience. Not one more of my brothers should die for a lie. This is my generation's call to conscience, end quote. The remarks drew cheers and a standing ovation. Navy Mass Communications Specialist Third Class Jonathan Hutto, who's 29, who enlisted in 2004 and is assigned to the Norfolk-based carrier Theodore Roosevelt, which deployed to the Persian Gulf in 2005 and 2006, said, quote, "We're not anti-war. We're not pacifists. We're anti-Iraq war," end quote. And the group's message, Specialist Hutto said, "There is an organized, constructive level of dissent within the ranks on this war." Now, DOD directives allow active duty service members to speak their minds as long as they don't show disrespect for their commanders or, in this case, the moron in the White House, or make, they're also allowed to make what is called a protected communication with members of Congress, as long as generally they're in the United States, out of uniform and off duty. Now, these soldiers, these Marines I've been quoting, and the other active duty members who came to Monday's rally are signatories to an online petition to Congress sponsored by Appeal for Redress. Have you seen that? We talked about that a week or so ago. A group of active duty reserve and guard personnel started last fall by Hutto and Madden that calls for an end to the war and a prompt withdrawal of all American forces and bases from Iraq. Tom Palumbo, who is with the local chapter in Norfolk of the Veterans for Peace, said Dr. King would be proud. Bush doesn't listen to anybody. Commanders, soldiers, the American people, the Congress, members of his own party, the United Nations, the people of Iraq, nobody. This son of a bitch is out of control. Do you understand that? Do you get that? I'm sure you do. People listen to this program. You right-wingers who are sneaking in for a listen, don't you understand that, you brain-dead freaks? Don't you get that? Everybody on earth, practically, except those who want to see the U.S. involved in this. Everyone else on earth wants us out of there. We have no business being there. We were sent there on lies. 34,000 Iraqi civilians. How many of those were kids, young girls, professionals, men, women, grandmas? Am I my brother's keeper? You know, Jehovah told Cain, "Your brother's blood cries out to me." What am I, my brother's keeper? I don't know where he is. What? Me? I don't know. And one more thing, and then we're going to come to your phone calls, because I see all the lines are full up here. So we're going to the in D.C. today, there were all sorts of potential jurors. They're trying to seat a jury for the Irving Libby perjury and obstruction of justice trial. Irving Lewis Libby, who was an advisor to the moron in the White House and the sick killer Dick Cheney. He's accused of lying to investigators about his conversations with reporters. The point of that is that if you saw the video today when Libby and his attorneys arrived at the courthouse, the federal, wherever they're meeting, I guess it's a federal courthouse, when they arrived today and they got out of the cars, did you see the swaggering sons of bitches? Every single one of them, including Irving Libby and his attorneys, they got out of their car, their limo, whatever it was, all of them laughing and smirking because they know they're protected. They know this is just a bunch of pro forma bat squeeze. Nothing's going to happen. Even if they get convicted, they'll be pardoned. There's nothing to see here. But the arrogance, the ungodly arrogance of these people. Unbelievable. All smiles and looks of cynical condescension. And Libby especially swaggered. I swear to God, he swaggered out of the car, down the sidewalk, looking at the cameramen and the reporters, laughing and joking with his lawyers. And Dick Cheney? You ever notice Cheney disappears for a while? Right when he starts looking real pale and wasted, and when he comes back, he's all ruddy and pink-cheeked. Now, it's either because he's a vampire or because he's getting blood transfusions, the way you and I would get one. What do you think?
For a liberal helping of truth, it's more of Mike Malloy.
We were young together. It's about 10 before the hour. Sarge emails in regarding the suicides of Iraq War veterans. Sarge writes, Bush is a great one at making suicide rates go up. Remember, suicide rates in Jackson County, Mississippi is 200%. The suicide rate is up 200%. What does that say about Americans who can't bother to protest or even make phone calls? Oh, man. Now, for folks listening in Sacramento, Cindy Sheehan will be there this Friday, the 19th. And for two events, one from 4 to 6 and one from 6 to 8. The one from 4 to 6, let me see here. Oh, go downtown, 16th and Broadway, where she and many peace supporters will gather to protest the occupation of Iraq. That's from 4 to 6, 16th and Broadway, downtown Sacramento, kind of downtown. Yeah, you'll find it. Come on, if you live there, you know where 16th and Broadway is. And then from 6 to 8... you'll get to go to the home of Stephen and Virginia Piercy. Now, this is open to the first 60 people who RSVP and have what is being billed as a fireside chat with Cindy Sheehan. Subjects of discussion can be expected to range from Cindy's trip to Cuba to her concerns about the surge, and Doris Matsui, one of the representatives from that area, the occupation funding. Anyway, now you can respond. Here's the email. It's Stephen, but it's spelled Stephen. S-T-E-P-H-E-N. Stephen. Let's do it phonetically. Stephen.Piercy. P-A-R-P-E-A-R-C-Y. Stephen.Piercy at sbcglobal.net. So if you want to do that, if you want to go there and meet Cindy Sheehan, you can do it two ways in Sacramento Friday night, either downtown at 16th and Broadway or at the home of Stephen and Virginia Piercy. If you want to go to their home, hurry up, hurry up. Stephen, or Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N dot Piercy, P-E-A-R-C-Y, at sbcglobal.net. Now, we do this occasionally. If you're listening in Seattle or San Francisco or San Diego or Miami, whatever, and you have one of these anti-war events, very small, very, you know, a protest or educational or getting together, let me know, and I'll try to just do what I just did for the Piercy's, put it on the air for you. Okay? All right, what else we got? I'll tell you what, let's do some calls here, okay? John is calling from San Francisco. Hey, John.
Hello?
Yes, John.
Yeah, you know, I didn't want to spend a lot of time on it, but you brought up a deer hunter, and I saw an article that mentioned in passing about 3 years ago on ZMAG.org, some commentary just in passing about that by Studs Terkel and other right. Progressive writers, and he said that was one of the most outrageous pornographic propaganda for the U.S. side in the Vietnam War, posing as an anti-war sentiment. All the specific things that were attributed to the Vietnamese is exactly what the United States did. The tiger cages, the torture by the United States puppet governments over there, and the American military putting people in these tiger cages and torturing them. There was no any recorded incident of any kind of use of that kind of Russian roulette. The use of flamethrowers into the tunnels that the Vietnamese people had to hide in under the most savage bombing in history that killed millions of them. All of this was attributed to the other side, when it was actually the United States government. And I see a parallel here. A movie that pretends to be anti-war is exactly the opposite, and the Democrats. I see them very much as a Trojan horse, because I see them as partner of the enabler, the accomplice of Bush in this attack that is going to drag us into wars even beyond bigger catastrophes than Iraq. The latest, the people, according to the exit polls, despite the Democrats and Republicans and the corporate media trying to hold them back from this position, the exit polls, which are accurate, said that a large majority of them wanted rapid and immediate withdrawal. Rapid and immediate withdrawal. None of these weasel words the Democrats are using about maybe a phased redeployment to bases or out of sight so that they can kill even more people by aerial bombardment, reduce the number of American casualties, and slaughter even more Iraqi men, women, and children than the 700,000 they've already killed over there. This is not what they called for. They simply said rapid and immediate withdrawal. And the Democrats now, I think, are playing a kind of a bad cop, worse cop team-up with the Bush administration, whatever their tactical differences. They know that their base represents the working people that take this position of withdrawal, but the people who call the shots for them are the same military-industrial corporations that they get their money from and that the Republicans and Bush gets his money from. So they're in this kind of a balancing act, I think, of trying to give this false impression that they're pacifying or responding to their base while rejecting any action that will actually end the slaughter over there, like cutting off the funds. And people like Biden and these other people are ruling that out. Pelosi, Steny Hoyer, and the rest of them are, and even some of them are calling for more troops. In effect, being more Bush than Bush and calling for more troops to be available for the attack on Iran. I mean, this is people like Charlie Rangel coming out and arguing that we have to have a draft, yeah. And he doesn't even bother anymore to cover it up as a way of deterring.
I hear you. I hear you. John, you make some good points. Thanks, pal. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. We have a break here. We'll be back after the top of the hour. Stay with us. Your phone calls when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Welcome back, about 7 past the hour. I'm so old I can remember when Iran was our ally. Well, it wasn't that long ago. It was only back in the 70s. Do you remember that? That's when, from 1953 until the Shah, the dictator that we installed, until he croaked, Iran was an ally. Yes, indeed it was. It was great because they weren't Arabs, you know, they were Persians. So it's very easy to deal with them. And They had a government in 1953 that we sent a couple of people over to overthrow and destroy and remove. Yeah, the way it was set up, the Iranian parliament voted for the Majlis. How do you pronounce it? I can't even pronounce it. Anyway, the Iranian parliament. And they elected Mohammad Mossadegh to be their leader. And one of the things he talked about doing was nationalizing, the oil companies. This is back in 52, 53. So we said, no, Eisenhower and... was Eisenhower? Yeah, he was in office then. They said, no, it's not going to happen. So we went over there and overthrew their government and installed the Shah, who claimed his family lineage claimed to go all the way back through Persian kings and potentates and so on and so forth. And, of course, the first thing that we did once we put the Shah in power was to assist in establishing what was known by its acronym, SAVAK, which was the Iranian secret police, that tortured and murdered and dismembered and anyone who was a dissident inside that country, kind of like Saddam, like we supported Saddam and his secret police. This is what is infuriating to me as a human being, not even as American, but as a human being, that these rotten bastards who support these dictators until they're finished with them and then overthrow them or and murder them or arrest them and put them on trial, or in the case of Iran, when the Iranian people finally had enough and the Shah had to leave the country because, uh-oh, here comes the Ayatollah Khomeini back from exile in Paris, and his little cassette tapes had been playing all over Iran about the revolution, about how the country had been overthrown by Americans in 53. And whose country is it, for Christ's sake? Or for Allah's sake, or whoever's sake. I don't know. So Ayatollah comes back. There's a revolution. Scores of our embassy employees, how many? 40? 46? I don't know. We're taken hostage. And then the Republicans worked out a deal with the Iranians, not just for weapons and hostage exchange, but to hold the hostages until to embarrass Jimmy Carter. It real sick stuff. I mean, just violent, belligerent, bloody crap. So now it's different. You see, when the Shah was in power, we provided the Iranians with an awful lot of nuclear technology. We wanted them to become a nuclear power in the Middle East. Oh, definitely. As long as the little rat bastard dictator, the Shah of Iran, was our butt boy, then it was okay. Just like as long as Batista was in charge of Cuba, it's okay. As long as Somoza was in charge of Nicaragua, it's okay. It just goes on and on and on and on. But the Middle East, you see, Iran. Now, we're threatening Iran. Condoleezza Rice and George Bush are lying through their teeth about these improvised... explosive devices, these IEDs. Bush said it the other night that Iran is supplying anti-coalition forces in Iraq with weaponry. According to Interpress Service, it says, in the past, high administration officials have always admitted that they had no real evidence to support this charge. Now they're going further. Secretary of State Rice told reporters on her current Middle Eastern trip, quote, I think there's plenty of evidence that there is Iranian involvement with these networks that are making high explosive IEDs and are endangering our troops, and that's going to be dealt with, end quote. However, Rice failed to provide any evidence of official Iranian involvement. Of course not. There is none. This is like Hitler saying that the Polish cavalry was threatening the German garrison on the border with Poland. You know, those crazy Poles on horseback were threatening our tanks. Sons of bitches! So we had to invade! The U.S. command admitted at first that the Sunnis were making these IEDs. On June 21st, 2005, General John Vines and the senior U.S. commander in Iraq told reporters that the insurgents had probably drawn on bomb-making expertise from former Iraqi President Saddam Hussein's army. A Pentagon official involved in combating the new IEDs also told the New York Times that the first such bombs examined by the U.S. military had required considerable expertise and that well-trained former Iraqi government specialists were probably involved in making them. But shortly after that, the Bush administration made a decision to start blaming its new problem in Iraq on Iran. In August of 2005, Pentagon and intelligence officials leaked the story to NBC and CBS that U.S. troops had, quote, intercepted dozens of shaped charges said to have been smuggled into northeastern Iraq only last week, end quote. But the administration had a major credibility problem with that story, could not explain why Iran would want to assist the enemies of the militant Shiite parties in Iraq that were aligned with Iran. Well, they're lying again. They're lying through their goddamn teeth. This is a part that drives me insane. Nothing will stop George W. Bush except legal and peaceful removal from office. Condoleezza Rice, Robert Gates, Dick Cheney, all of them, they are liars. And more Americans and more Iraqis have to die because they are liars. And when is Condoleezza Rice going to stop waving and start doing something? Stupid question, Malloy. She doesn't do anything. Never could. Never has. She needs to go back and be the head schoolmarm at Stanford like she was successfully for a number of years. Jesus, God, this Secretary of State is driving me absolutely nuts. Oh, who cares about my being driven nuts? Let's go back to the phones, okay? Let's do that. Barbara is calling from Seattle. Hey, Barbara.
Oh, hi. Sorry about that. I was off doing other stuff. something that kind of stuck in my mind regarding embedding the our troops in with the Iraqis, besides being making them more of a target. There was a piece done a couple months ago at least. One of the reporters, you know, was going around asking soldiers who were involved in training the Iraqis at that time how much they trusted the people that they were embedded with for that training. And they had one particular fellow, I don't know if he was lieutenant or captain or something, and there were like 25 or 30 Iraqis standing behind him. He turned around and looked at them.
Mm-hmm.
And then come back to the reporter and said, maybe one or two. And the reporter said, out of that whole bunch? And he said, yeah, maybe one or two, maybe three. Because the Iraqis have not controlled who's in their army.
Yeah.
And I think we start embedding our troops within their ranks that the losses are going to go up simply by that being an opportunity to kill more.
Oh, it's going to be horrible.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was rather interesting. They don't trust the people they're training.
No, of course not, because the soldiers, while they are caught in a political situation, American soldiers are not there to do politics.
No.
They are there to do what soldiers are always supposed to do, smash things and kill people.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they're supposed to do, and they understand that the other side will try to smash their things and kill them. So to embed our troops with Iraqis is utterly and absolutely insane.
Same.
But
yep.
What the hell, Barbara? What do you expect from this commander in chief, this decider? Hey, I got to go. Thanks, Barbara.
Okay, thanks.
Appreciate
bye.
You checking in.
Okay, bye. He keeps a straight face. He lies and he lies and he lies. Too many believe him. They're bleating like sheep. Accomplices now in the liar's deceit. He lies and he lies.
You know, they're obviously killing Americans, but they're killing a lot more Iraqis.
Ah, well then, everything's okay. Bloodthirsty bastard. Are you, Are you a student or faculty of Michigan State University and you're listening tonight? If so, I've got a message for you after the next break. If you are a student or faculty, Michigan State University, this is about January 27th, massive demonstration in Washington, D.C. So Michigan State people who are listening via the Internet are serious. I'll have a bit of info for you here after the next break. Back to the phone calls. Joe is calling from New Jersey. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
Hey, I just wanted to get your feeling on something. Something really disturbs me up here in New Jersey. Apparently, there is a bill that was unanimously passed by the state Congress and now sitting on Governor Corzine's desk that would actually have schools stop teaching the meaning of Veterans Day and Memorial Day to public high schools.
I'd have to see that. I just don't believe that. Where did you get the information?
I got that off of WCBS 88.
WCBS, that's your CBS affiliate there?
It's one of the AM radio stations. I pulled it up right off their website this morning after I heard something on another radio station.
Well, that's the damnedest thing. Can you send me a link and let me check it out myself? That's astonishing if it's true. Why? Is there any reason given as to why?
No, the only thing they said was that it was a provision kind of put in the middle of like a school tax or a school funding bill. They kind of stuck that in the middle of it.
But for what reason? Do you have any idea? Do you have any idea? I can't think of any reason that makes any sense to not. To not teach or mention Veterans Day?
Yep.
All right, I've got to see that one. I don't think anybody in this country is that wacko to try to do something like that.
You've obviously never lived in New Jersey.
Well, no, but I live in Atlanta, Georgia. Come on, give me a break. I just don't think. I have a hard time with that one. I'll tell you what. You send me a link. Let me take a look at it. All right.
Certainly. I need to talk to your guy about getting your email address in.
Say again.
I need to get your email.
Well, just send it to mike@mikemalloy.com.
Okay.
mike@mikemalloy.com. And if you send that to me within the next couple of minutes, and I can take a look at it, by God, I'll talk about it on the air, or the listeners will talk about it. I never heard of such craziness.
Certainly. It's on the way.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you checking in, Joe.
Uh-huh.
Ban teaching about Veterans Day? No, there's got to be more to that story. Let's wait and see what he sends us. Back to your phone calls. We have two open lines, by the way. The number here is 800-989-1480. Rob is calling from Detroit. Hey, Rob.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. How are you doing?
I'm holding up as best as I can.
I hear that.
I'm basically calling. As good as the idea as draft is, possibly draft congressmen's children and possibly the twins, the Bush twins. I'm a former Marine. Unfortunately, did not get a chance to go to Iraq. I'm happy about that. I did my time and got out while Clinton was still in office.
Uh-huh.
And I just wanted to say that I don't think a draft would do any good as far as who was the congressman that's
Rangel, Charlie Rangel.
Charlie Rangel. I don't think that's going to work at all because, first of all, when you got a draft, there's a guy who actually writes out the orders. I don't know what his rank is or what his position is in Congress or in the Pentagon at all. But if they pull the draft out, I'm pretty sure that the Bush crime family and the other crime families that associate with them, they have their way to make sure that their daughters and their sons' names stay off the draft list. And even if they do get drafted, I'm pretty sure there's a way for them to be undrafted.
Yeah.
So I propose I personally, I want to know how the Bush kids feel about this war. So I don't really have access to a TV, or I don't hardly ever run across a news camera. Mm-hmm.
Well, in the first place, Rob, in order to find out what the twins, Bush twins, think about this war, you'd have to sober them up, take away their cocaine, try to get them dressed, give them a shower, and then ask them, and they'd probably sit there and go, what?
Yeah, that's funny. I feel somebody should get on camera.
What?
And just embarrass the twins. Like, you know, you guys need to get out here in the war and just steady pound it on TV.
Yeah,
they get on TV and make a remark about it.
No.
We'll truly find out either how stupid or
none of that's ever going to happen. Hey, Rob, I got to go. Thanks, pal. Stay in touch. Stay in touch. We'll be back after the break, True Seekers. Got this broken feeling. It's about 25 before the hour. Okay, thanks everybody who sent that in. Reggie at tvnewslies.org sent it to me. There is nothing mandated in New Jersey about you can't celebrate Veterans Day or Memorial Day. The story is simply, do New Jersey public school teachers need a law telling them to celebrate state holidays such as Veterans Day or Lincoln's Day? In 1967, the New Jersey State Legislature thought they did and passed a law that calls for, quote, appropriate exercises for the development of a higher spirit of patriotism, end quote, in all public schools on the last school day before Lincoln's birthday, Washington's birthday, Memorial Day, Columbus Day, Veterans Day, and Thanksgiving, all days on which most of the schools are closed. It goes on to say no one ever checked to see if schools were complying with that law, and in December, the current state legislature, Democrats and Republicans, voted to eliminate the mandate along with several others as part of a bill to cut back on the number of state mandates in public schools. The legislation says that schools may conduct some type of exercise or instruction to observe the holidays, but does not require them to. The bill's statement said the goal is to give schools more flexibility and to allow the state education standards to drive instruction. The bill also eliminates the mandate to celebrate Arbor Day in April and Commodore John Barry Day in all public schools. The vote was unanimous in both the Senate and the Assembly and now awaits Governor Corzine's signature. Assemblyman Frank Blee, Republican, said the bill is not intended to diminish the holidays or the respect due them. The emphasis was to reduce state mandates and give schools more flexibility to teach as they see fit. Assemblyman Jeff Van Drew, a Democrat, said that there was no oversight, since there was no oversight or penalty to assure the schools did comply, the law as it stood had no real impact. He went on to say, quote, very patriotic people voted for this, and it's rare that you get unanimous support on anything. We just don't think the schools need to be told to do something on a specific day, end quote. Now, here's what will happen if it hasn't already. The right-wing half-asses in talk radio and on the Internet and the bloggers, the right-wing freaks, will start saying, oh, well, goddamn Democrats are banning Veterans Day in New Jersey. You watch. It's probably already started. You see, the information gets out there. Oh, did you hear what they're doing? They're banning the celebration of Veterans Day. No, they're not. That's just like the right-wing freaks who said, well, they threw God out of the public school. No, they didn't. When the Supreme Court voted in, what, 62, 64, to end forced, mandated, government-sponsored prayer to some cloud being, all the right-wing religious nuts in this country went ballistic. And some of them who weren't right-wing and religious nuts, some of them were just mainstream Christians who said, oh, they've driven God out of the classroom. No, they haven't. Any child in any classroom, in any public school in the United States can pray until beads of blood break out on his forehead. No one is going to stop him. But it's against the law found in the Constitution, for the teacher, the principal, the school board to mandate prayer in the schools. But that's how it's presented. They threw God out of the public schools. That one always just made the bile rise in my gullet too. So to our caller, no, I'm not getting on you. Your question was legit. Rob, was it Rob in New Jersey? Your question was legit. Because these stories get reported in a way that you don't know what, well, now what do they mean by that? And most of us, we hear this stuff and it just flies by us. There's so much going on, that these, filthy news outlets feel that they have to, stuff into our brains. No one in New Jersey, not Democrats, not Republicans, and not the governor, no one has said, well, you can't celebrate Veterans Day anymore. What they did was remove a 40-year-old law that said you must celebrate it on this particular day. That's all. Okay? But I'm sure that the halfwits over at freerepublic.com or the morons on right-wing talk radio, I'm sure Hannity will jump on it. I'm sure Savage will jump on it. I'm sure... I can't even think of any of the rest of these rats' names, but it'll be all over the place. They're banning. Oh, my Christ. They took God out of the school. Now they're taking patriotism. Oh, Lord. It's Bill Clinton's fault. Right? Oh, it just drives me nuts. All right. Michigan State University, faculty and students. This is from Will. This is for passengers on a chartered bus to Washington, D.C., 7 p.m. on Friday, January 26th. The demonstration is the 27th. Will writes, we currently have 27 more seats available. We need 19 more people to make a minimum $100 donation to cover the cost of chartering the bus. We're also taking smaller donations for a scholarship fund to help students who may not be able to afford the full amount. As of my last email communication with our treasurer, the scholarship fund for the bus is currently $180. This would be for students that can't afford $100. So here's who you contact. Solo, as in Han Solo, solo-dancer, S-O-L-O-dancer, at comcast.net. Solo-dancer at comcast.net. This is for the bus leaving East Lansing, which is where the university, Michigan State University is. Will writes, if we fill up their buses leaving from Ann Arbor and Kalamazoo. And by the way, you can look up local contacts of groups providing transportation to D.C. at unitedforpeace.org, unitedforpeace.org. But Will writes about, if you want help out on this, you want information, if you're a student or faculty member, solo-dancer at comcast.net. Okay? Now, write these down. I'm giving you lots of advance notice because, you know, I can't turn this into a bulletin board. I'm more than happy to announce these, but just let me do it the one or two or three times in a given moment. You write them down, all right? Okay, back to your phone calls. Folks, you don't need to send any more emails here about the New Jersey holiday bill. Okay, thanks for everyone who did. Hutch is calling from New Mexico. Hey, Hutch, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Welcome back to Sirius.
Thank you.
I just caught a little bit of what you were talking about with the IUDs and
IEDs.
IEDs.
Right.
The I read back in probably December of 2004, I believe it was, in U.S. News and World Report, that the military had gotten a bunch of papers saying that Saddam had sent all his top military military people to urban warfare school, taught them how to make IEDs, set up.
Now who did this?
Saddam.
Saddam. Yeah. Well, that's the report I was referring to. That the Bush crime family and the U.S. military know exists. These IED training and parts are not coming from Iran. They're coming from the people right there. Why does it always have to be somebody from outside the country? It's the Iraqis who want our asses gone.
Right.
And they want to be able to kill each other to the extent that they feel it's necessary, just like we did in this country in the 1860s. We reserve for ourselves the right to commit murder of brother on brother in this country. By God, why can't the Iraqis be allowed to do the same thing? We're human beings.
Yeah.
We kill each other. We're like army ants. I think we're the only species other than army ants that organize ourselves specifically to murder members of our own species.
Yeah, that's the nature of man, you know.
Oh my God! But you know, we're so stupid in this country. We are so half-witted, stupid, Hutch, that we will sit back and listen to these freaks tell us, "Well, this is Iranians." You know,
well,
just like Hitler said, it's the Poles, you know, so we can have an excuse to go bomb them.
But let me tell you, in that same issue,
yeah,
it did talk about the Iranians giving support, information, what do you call it, information support and financial support to the insurgency.
Well, I would think so. They're all Shia.
It made it sound like Iran kind of orchestrated our being over there, like, you know, they just kind of let us go and do what we were going to do, and then they just kind of pulled the strings from behind to get things the way they wanted.
That's,
you know?
It. That's such a slap in the face to the Iraqis who want us gone, you know. It really is. Hey, listen, thanks, man. I got a boogie.
Hey,
thanks,
can I say one more thing?
I'm out of time, pal.
All right,
man. Appreciate it. Catch you on the next go-around.
Because life's too short to listen to right-wing radio, it's more of Mike Malloy.
We get a little crazy. No one ever gonna survive.
It's about 10 before the hour. Yeah, it's already started. Somebody just sent me a link to a newspaper here in one of the collar counties of Atlanta, Gwinnett County, column by Cal Thomas, this right-wing crazed thug who writes strictly from the perspective of the right-wing nutballs in this country. New Jersey State Legislature, you see, is banning the celebration of Veterans Day. This is astonishing to me. You're going to be able to see this story develop right before your eyes. The truth is nobody's banning anything. What they're doing is rescinding a New Jersey state law that mandated the celebration of 8 or 9 holidays on certain days. And now they're saying, no, just do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. And somebody else sent me a link. Some veterans group is thoroughly pissed off. How can you do this to us? CNN is reporting something on their webpage. This is how this starts, just like the God out of the school story started. And that one has had enormous legs. That's gone on for 50 years, that story, damn near. It just keeps going and going. It's the gift that just doesn't stop giving to the right-wingers, you know. Oh, they kick God out of the public schools. As long as there are tests in first-year algebra, there will always be prayers in the public schools, always. But now it's, this is what it's going to be. You watch it. Oh, they're, Corzine's a Democrat, isn't he? Yeah? Okay. Well, there you go. The pressure now will be applied to Corzine that if he doesn't veto this bill, he's just a communist a bomb-throwing terrorist. You see, and Corzine is going to sit there and go, oh, my God, I don't believe this. Welcome to the world of right-wing nutballs, John. Story like this gets started. You can't kill it with an IED. It just keeps going and going and going. All right, back to your phone calls. Who we got next here? It looks like Armand is calling from Florida. Hey, Armand.
Hey.
Yes, hello.
Yes, Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, first, I was having some Jell-O and watching the Barrett Jackson auction while I was listening to you.
Yeah, okay.
Excuse me. But anyway, when they talk about removing God out of the public schools, I love to have fun with the Christian Taliban.
Yeah.
Because I look at them and I ask them, I say, how was God removed? Was it with sheriff deputies or the police department?
Yeah, really.
And they just look at me all glassy-eyed. And it's really funny and comical.
Well, you got to get your kicks where you can, right, Armand?
Well, you know, it's so expensive nowadays, especially down here in Florida. You have to. You're right. But anyway, back to the current issue of Iran.
Yeah.
Are you going to bring up about Iran-Contra and all that crap? And are you going to bring up
I have been. Every time one of the former Iran-Contra criminals, like Poindexter or Negroponte, or the list goes on and on, Elliot Abrams, advances in the Bush administration, the Bush crime family, I usually bring it up, yeah. And in the context of how Iran was a great friend of ours as long as the murderous Shah was there, yeah, I bring it up all the time. Why?
Well, isn't it also true that Halliburton and Cheney, before he became vice president, all during the 90s, they were trading with Iran? And and they were also breaking sanctions while they were trading with Iran.
Yes.
With Iraq, too.
Yes. But you see, Armand, and you know this, if you are with Halliburton or Kellogg Brown and Root or Cheney or the Carlyle Group or
Bechtel.
Yeah, Bechtel. There's a whole group of companies, especially any connected with Cheney. You do as you damn well please. You don't play by the rules that Americans have to play by. Now, if you had a business, Armand, and you wanted to do business in Iran 5 or 6 years ago, or 3 years ago, or tomorrow, your ass would be toast. The IRS would be at your front door. The CIA, the FBI, the NSA, they'd be tapped. Tapping your phones, tapping your brain, tapping everything. But Cheney can do this. Cheney is a master criminal. He is a master criminal. And if he wants to trade, or his company trade with the Iranians, then he'll do it. And, you know, he looks at people like you as just a smart ass who, it's none of your business what he does. He's Dick Cheney.
Well, when that punk that's the vice president was driving a piece of crap Volkswagen, I had a GTO that would smoke him off the road. So, you know, who knows what the future holds.
That's very true. That's
but
very...
I want to say one other point.
Make it quick.
Do you remember before they went into Iraq the first time? It was about 1990. You can go back and look at the CNN archives.
Yeah.
And when Baker met with Tariq Aziz before, you know, they were trying to do some diplomatic things before Bush went in, and what wasn't it January or something in 91 he went in, the first Gulf War?
I think.
If you go back and look at that footage, I think they slipped up because Baker's coming down a hallway, and he's coming around, and CNN showed it, and he's sitting there rubbing his hands back together like a salesman that just sold somebody a new car and a bunch of options they don't need.
Yeah.
And then he comes walking around the corner and comes up to the table where Tariq Aziz was there with the Iraqis, and then the other side of the aisle trying to diplomatically come to a conclusion. I just thought that in itself is the poster child of the whole Bush crime family and their hypocrisy and all their criminal actions and everything. just a bunch of slick thugs in suits rubbing their hands together behind the scenes.
Oh, they love war as long as they don't have to serve in it, because war and the destruction...
Money.
Yeah, the destruction that comes with war always smells like money once you get past the stench of the stinking corpses and the smoldering buildings. The smell that you smell to these people is money. Armand, I got to go. Thanks. Appreciate it. I'll talk to you again. We'll be back after the break, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio Network. Welcome back, about 7 past the hour. This is Nova M Radio Network. I'm Mike Malloy. Bruce in California sent me some quotes here about Mesopotamia. That would be, if I remember high school geography, that would be Mesopotamia was Iraq, part of Syria, a little bit of Iran. Turkey, you know, this is before all these fake countries were developed. But listen to these quotes. This is from Colonel T.E. Lawrence. Yeah, Lawrence of Arabia. In the London Sunday Times, August 1920, he writes, "The people of England have been led in Mesopotamia into a trap from which it will be hard to escape with dignity and honor. They have been tricked into it by a steady withholding of information. We are today not far from disaster." Jesus, God. Oh, was that 90 years ago? The lying sons of bitches were doing it then, too? This is from Rear Admiral Sir Edmund Slade in a report to the British Admiralty in 1918. "It is evident that the power that controls the oil lands of Persia and Mesopotamia will control the source of supply of the majority of the liquid fuel in the future. Britain must therefore at all costs retain its hold on the Persian and Mesopotamian oil fields." This is King Faisal I of Iraq in a confidential memo shortly before his death in 1933. King Faisal of Iraq writes, "There is still, and I say this with a heart full of sorrow, no Iraqi people, but an unimaginable mass of human beings devoid of any patriotic ideas, imbued with religious traditions and absurdities, connected by no common tie, giving ear to evil, prone to anarchy, and perpetually ready to rise against any government whatsoever. Out of these masses," excuse me, "out of these masses we want to fashion a people which we would train, educate, and refine. The circumstances being what they are, the immenseness of the efforts needed for this cannot be imagined." Oh, God. Last one. Winston Churchill in a communique to British Prime Minister Lloyd George around 1918. Churchill writes, "Evidently, we are in for a long, costly campaign in Mesopotamia, which will strain to the uttermost our military resources. It seems to me so gratuitous that we should be compelled to go on pouring armies and treasure into these thankless deserts." End quote. The point being, of course, that if George W. Bush could read, if Dick Cheney gave a damn about human life or history, or if any of the policymakers in the Bush crime family had any understanding of, and don't even get me started on Afghanistan, had any inkling of the history of the Middle East. Going way back, you know, I talk about the history of the Middle East. I'm not talking about what started in 1948 with the establishment of the State of Israel. Oh, no, 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 no. You have to go back to the Ottoman Empire. You have to go back before that. But the involvement of Western powers in an area of the world, region of the world, where they had no business being, except maybe to come and buy stuff like oil. Hi, could I buy a box of oil, please? Thank you very much. Rather than come in with armies and designs to overthrow governments and establish countries that didn't even exist in order to get to the damn stuff. What if we would have shown up and just said, hey, can we buy some of that black gooey stuff? How much you want for it? Yeah. Okay. Back to your phone calls. Ed is calling from Miami. Ed, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hey.
Yeah, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine, Ed. How are you?
Hold on just a minute. Yeah, Mike?
Yeah, are you beating someone?
Yeah, I'm just trying to... Hey, I just wanted to say that about 3 or 4 months ago, I heard that you were leaving, and Randy Rhodes was giving us numbers to call, and then you left. Now you're back, and it's a pleasure to have you back.
Thank you.
To know how, why you left and how you got back. And I'm very pleased. And the second question, the comment I have is, I don't understand why more people don't articulate Bush's personality like you do, like calling him a half-wit and the Bush crime family. I mean, certainly the atrocities of the last 6 years indicates to me that there should be more people like you out there in the media. That's the first question, so how you, why you left and how you got back. And the second one is, you probably covered this before, but what are there legitimate chances that we can get rid of this president? Are the Democrats going to do something? Do they have the power to do so?
Well, let me see if I can answer. I'll answer for you on the air. Thanks, Ed.
Can get rid of the president or the
Democrats? First of all, I got fired from Air America ostensibly because they were running out of money, and I was an easy target. I didn't have a multi-million dollar contract like some of the folks who worked there did. Matter of fact, I didn't even have I had a working agreement with them, but that was subject to the rules put out by my union, AFTRA. But the people who ran Air America at the time didn't give a damn about things like unions. A lot of people think that because most of us on the air were liberals, that management was liberal. No, it wasn't. Especially not the way it devolved into a morass of thugs and idiots. I got back on radio because the people who originally had the idea for Air America, who are righteous people, formed a new network, Nova M, and purchased a couple of radio stations, one of which... they have a lease agreement to run in Phoenix, which has become our flagship station. And from there, through the magic of electronics, we are syndicating this program and a couple more, I believe. And eventually, Nova M will be what Air America could have been if the management would have been decent and committed to the idea that Air America was founded on, which it wasn't. Most of us on the air were definitely committed to it. And the people not on the air, the technicians, the producers, the researchers, the just a hell of a good group of young people there. And then those of us on the air were considerably older than the people working behind the scenes. But management and the board of directors, for the most part, were liars, cheats, sneaks, and stuck in their own vanity. As far as... The name calling that I get involved in with Bush, I do that because I get so frustrated. I think he is a rotten son of a bitch. There's no question that. But you most people would not say that on television. The only person that comes close to it is Keith Olbermann, and he just calls him a traitor. And I don't know that he's even called him a traitor, but since Keith has the entire staff of NBC working with him and on this program, it's Kathy and me. We can't back it up with great writers and great video. I'm not complaining. That's just the difference between the Overman show and this show. But you will not find a news person or a commentator who does what we do in mainstream media. Jack Cafferty at CNN is getting close. He's getting close to doing it. But this program is not a news program. I'm not sure what we are. I've said before, don't come here to learn anything. Come here to vent and to talk and to know that you're joining a kind of an electronic gathering of lots of people who feel the same way, and a few who don't, but they listen to the program because they're curious as to what intelligent people talk about, even intelligent people who curse and use bad words. The only thing I would suggest is, to the extent that you think it's necessary, if you have young children, don't have them listen to this program. Because we say bad words here. As many as we can get away with, and some that we shouldn't say anyway. But I hope that answers your question. Back after the break, I'm Mike Malloy. This is NoVam Radio. Past the hour. We're just rocking and rolling right along tonight, aren't we? Jim is calling from Mobile, Alabama. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
You are.
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm in Laramie, Wyoming tonight. I'm over the road truck driver.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. My money goes to Mobile. I live in the truck.
I hear that.
Yeah. Lynn Samuels said when you was coming on the radio to listen to you because you speak with great passion, and she thinks you're the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Well,
I agree with her.
I love Lynn Samuels. I listen to her. I have Sirius in my van, and I listen to Liz every day. Lynn every day that I'm out and about. Well, she's noon to two, I think, right?
Yeah. Anyway, what I was going to ask you, seeing how Bush has got all these military people lined up in the intelligence agency and everything.
Yeah.
But if that little worm Cheney get down in that bunker and come up with another 9/11 plan, and then Bush goes, oops, we got to declare martial law. Elections are off, everything.
Well, there's always that possibility with these people. They have no respect for anything, certainly not for you and me or the Constitution.
Yeah, I don't trust them. I mean, they have respect for us, none for the Constitution. And they just blatantly don't give about us at all.
No, you can't say that. You really can't. I appreciate your passion. Now look, folks. See, I set a bad example here, and I know I do. But you can't do that. All right, you can do it on Lynn's program. Because she's strictly serious, but we're over the air and not satellite, so it does make a difference. And so anyway, I appreciate your call and I appreciate your passion. I'm right there on the same page with you, but we have to abide by the rules and regs set out there by the thugs at the FCC. Look what they did to Howard Stern. What the hell did Howard Stern do? So, we just have to be careful. All right? We'll catch you on the next go-around, pal. Steve is calling from Los Angeles. Hey, Steve. Welcome to the program. Hey, Steve.
Yeah, Mike. Hey, what's up, man?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
You got me?
Yes.
Sorry, man. Getting back. Analyzing the videos, the appearances from the freaks this weekend, a couple points I wanted to make. These guys, and I'll try not to swear like the last dude. I wish I could to describe these people.
Yeah.
But what they are doing, number one, is designed to frighten people.
Right.
People have to remember that. They did this before. We're seeing them do it again. They don't speak otherwise. They only do this when they are attempting to influence people's minds.
Right.
Two, they purposely act evil because they're actually, and I believe I can say.
No, you can't. You can't do that one either. No. Oh, all right. Have you got a polka handy? You don't? I think we need a polka here. It's very difficult to ask people to control their passions, but you got to control your language. And yeah, there are all sorts of words that we could probably get away with, but we just don't even want to attempt it because of the possibility of, you know, we're a startup network, and we just don't want to run afoul of anybody, especially if it concerns fines. What are the Republicans? The Republicans have changed the rules now where I think a first offense for one of the seven words is like, what is it, Kathy, $350,000? My God. That is to keep the angry opposition off the air. So, anyway, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Molloy. This is Nova M.
It's hard to care. I need a big steam shovel to find my own fair share. Just say no to Bush it. Just try it if you dare. I never voted for the IRS or no bureaucracy. They steal my cash and kick my ass and tell me that I'm free. I wonder, is there anywhere that the people let you be? If Tommy Paine woke up today, King George is all he'd see. And Bush it, Bush it, Bush it, their flags are all unfurled. Tons and tons of Bush it, the fleas have wagged the world. Kings may come and kings may go, but King George still remains. Just say no to Bush it if they haven't cooked your brains.
The Mike Molloy Show, because each time you listen to right-wing radio, God kills a kitten.
Oh, really? 26 before the hour. From Karen in Alameda, California, says, "Hi, Mike. So happy you're back in the San Francisco area. Earlier, you wished Condi would just go back to Stanford and said she had done a good job. Trust me, if she went back to her job at Stanford, there would be many unhappy people. Just as she is incompetent as Secretary of State, she was also incompetent as Chancellor. A friend of mine worked there." Oh, okay. Condi Rice just—I don't know. She irritates the hell out of me. I don't like the poseur type, especially when it's someone who's supposed to be a Secretary of State. Dear God. Back to your phone calls. Joe is calling from Miami. Hey, Joe. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Hey, how's it going, Mike? Listen, Mike, I figured out the Iraq reason with Bush.
All right.
Remember the last Republican good president we had, Eisenhower, when he left office, warned us about the military-industrial complex?
Yeah.
Bush personifies it. He starts a 50-year war, right, this war on terror.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they own Carlyle Group, they own Bechtel, they own Halliburton. They rip off the American taxpayer to the tune of whatever billions of dollars they can off the military budget. But they get a twofer, Mike. They also have holdings in oil. So they go into Iraq, slow down the oil flow, take the weapons, which are being turned over three or four times, you know, because we got to replace the weapons. Take those weapons, threaten Iran and Venezuela, another oil-producing countries, thereby raising oil prices. They get a twofer.
Well, I wonder why more people don't understand that and make it stop. And how do you make it stop?
Well, that's what Congress got real. I've left this message to a couple of senators. Like I said, Hagel gives me some confidence in Republicans.
Yeah.
I like Hagel a lot. I think he realized he was a grunt in Vietnam. He knows
right.
what war is all about.
Right.
So I got to, it's really disappointing that these people haven't decided to impeach this SOB we got in the White House right now, because it's obvious what he's doing.
Why do you suppose more Americans don't see it?
Mike, the average American is too worried about who's going to win the Super Bowl next week. You know, I mean, if it doesn't affect them, Mike, personally, they don't care. They don't care. And also, they're so afraid. I mean, I can't believe they're hiding away from some possible attack. You know? They got to realize the whole thing was a setup. This was planned. This was game planned for years. These guys had this going forever. And I'll tell you something else, Mike. All right. I turn Bush off now. I don't listen to him. Like when he does the speech, turn it off. If everybody turned him off, he'd be so irrelevant, Congress would have to do something about him. I don't listen to him anymore.
Well, who's going to tell you when he comes on the air and says,
well, I mean,
have ordered this evening the United States military to invade, you know.
Well, you don't know about it. You're going to know about it from news media, but I don't have to listen to his crap.
No, that's true. I know what you mean.
Take care, my man.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate you checking in. Joe in Miami. Oh, my goodness. Look who's here. Marge is calling from Indiana. Hey, Marge, welcome to the program.
Mike Malloy would be a bad example for anybody. I can't believe that. That wouldn't happen. I mean, after all, Mike Malloy's show is just a little campfire where truth seekers gather around and chew on the events of the day.
That's all it is.
Absolutely.
Has someone been telling you otherwise?
Well, somebody must have been complaining about perhaps words of choice or choice words. I don't know which way you want to put that, but I mean.
We do have to be careful. And for the people who are listening on the internet or on hold, you know, it all comes through.
If they want to be picky.
Yeah.
I guess we'll have to let them be picky.
You have to do it. Yeah, I have to do it. But the real reason you call, I bet you're calling in about your friend Barack Obama.
After I heard the quote, I had to run and write it down so I wouldn't forget it.
Yeah.
You know, he went on the internet today and announced that he was putting forth exploratory, whatever the hell that those people do.
Yeah.
To see if he's going to be able to raise enough money and run against Hillary.
Yes.
And like that.
Yes.
And oh, by God, I don't think the words were cold on the air. You know, the airwaves that we own, we the people own. Uh-huh. Don't get me started on that. But that's another topic.
Right, right.
Anyway, somebody was saying, well, you know, they were raising the question about Barack Obama's experience.
Uh-huh.
And I guess he's still in Chicago, but I don't remember exactly who asked the question. You know, they're talking about Obama's experience. And Newton Minow said this afternoon, the guy in government today with the most experience is Dick Cheney. Enough said.
That's true.
And I thought, oh, okay.
But Marge, you and I both know, you know, one thing you don't do is make predictions about politics. But
oh, no.
But Barack Obama, I would imagine, has as much chance of being made president as, oh, I don't know, you do? Or make it even more long shot. I do?
Well,
It's just not going to happen.
No, I don't think that it will, but I hope that between Obama and Kucinich that we have one hell of a healthy discussion, debate on what needs to be done in this country. Maybe. Is that asking too much?
Well, no, but two words for you. You ready?
Yeah.
Howard Dean.
Oh.
Now, remember Howard Dean, who absolutely set the political system in this country on its ear. He was exuberant. He was bright. He was right.
Yeah.
He was.
And he yelled a little bit in Iowa, and they turned off the mics, and instead of letting everybody hear all the truth, they just heard part of the truth.
Right.
And there we went. I mean, hot ziggity damn.
But look what the bastards in this country did to somebody like Howard Dean,
mm-hmm.
and then imagine what they're going to do to Barack Obama.
It's something to go on. But before I forget, do you or anybody that you know watch Boston Legal? Have you ever watched it?
I have a couple of times, but it's usually on.
I know. Yeah. It's on against you, but I tuned in tonight specifically because I knew that Denny Crane was going to come up against the Transportation Security Administration, TSA.
Yeah.
And he was put on their no-fly list.
Yeah.
And, was it? But he got so mad that he even called up his old friend Tom DeLay and his phone was disconnected. Isn't that a shame?
You're kidding.
Oh, well, I mean, that was a line in the show, and there was a couple of good ones. If you know anybody that happens to TiVo that, watch tonight's episode. It was a pip.
All right. I really don't.
Good old Denny Crane. He's a horny right-wing lawyer that, you know,
now, is
talking
he the,
about setting an example.
Is he the Captain Kirk character?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What's the other guy's name? I think it's Spade or Spader.
Yeah, Dave.
Is it David? I can't remember.
James Spader.
Oh, okay. And he was defending it. He always comes up with these summaries that, you know, in defense of his client or whoever, and tonight his client happened to be Denny Crane, alias Captain Kirk, and it was a hoot. And they even mentioned, tell when you get old. Well, he was talking about iPods and Steve Jobs,
right.
And you know, different. There was he mentioned the security report, you know, that kind of dumped on Homeland Security. And
right.
Tom Ridge, and I mean, he was going by names down the list. You got to find somebody that T-voted. It was a doozy. I was laughing out loud.
I'll try.
So anyhow, I'm glad you're on one of these days. I think I found somebody that sells a serious satellite radio that you can plug and play. You don't have to hook it up to anything special.
There you go.
So that's what I'm going to do, and when I do, I'll yell so you can hear me. One last thing. Happy birthday, Kathy. I think it's coming up shortly.
Oh, that's very sweet. It's Thursday.
See there?
You remembered?
Of course.
It's Thursday.
You know whose birthday it is today? You don't want to know.
Yours.
No. Mine is in May.
Wait.
Think Kentucky Derby. Mine is in May.
The horse?
The race is the first Saturday in May.
Okay.
You're going to tempt me to say something on the air that I shouldn't be saying.
No, don't. Listen, Marge, I want to tell you about a dream I had the other night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was about a hairbrush, but it really wasn't. It was more like an electric eel. And I was sitting on a bench, only it really wasn't a bench. Hey, Marge, I got to go. Kathy's giving me the signal that means we got to do
something. You're getting bad. All right, take care.
Thanks, Marge. You too. We'll talk again. Bye-bye. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. There are people here who do not even know the TV. Everybody be careful. Oh, everybody be careful. Oh, everybody be careful. Everything I know about my country, I learned on TV. The man on the screen tells me who is our enemy.
They say that we are free and we must fight to be number one. So when the army calls, I'll grab my TV, my car and my gun. And the TV God watches over me, opens up my eyes, shows me how to see.
Thanks to the crew, Ian Huff, who engineered the program in Phoenix and also handled your calls and also has the fastest dump button finger in the Midwest. You gotta watch our language, folks. He said, ironically. Also, thanks to Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, our webmaster, the moderators at MikeMalloy.com on the message board. Check it out if you haven't been there. Ben Birch, White Rose Society, archives the program. And go to NovaMradio.com for all sorts of interesting things. There are some additions and changes and things coming to NovaMradio.com. And I want you to go to that website as often as you can to stay abreast of everything, okay? Okay. Back to your calls. Alice is calling from Arkansas. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Mike. Do you think Gerald Ford is really in the ground yet?
Yes, yes, I do.
Do you? Yeah. They're not going to pull his body out again and run it around the country?
I don't think so.
I'm sorry. That was just, Negroponte.
Yeah.
When I read last week that he was dumped out of his position and put under Condi, I was totally freaked out. Because here is one of the slimiest people ever to be involved in this country and what its government's doing. And he came out against Iran and the information about Iran, and they dumped him.
You know, did he? Because I've heard that reported.
I've heard that more than once.
Yeah, so have I. I just haven't seen anything where Negroponte himself...
Yeah, I saw a quote by him.
Did you?
Yeah. And I mean, the whole thing just totally freaked me out because it's like, man, if they're dumping people like Negroponte, how bad are these people?
Well, you have to keep in mind that loyalty with the Bush crime family only runs one way. As long as people are willing to suck up to George
and
Cheney.
Yeah, but if Negroponte is no longer willing to suck up to him, what is that telling you?
Well, not that it's getting too vile for someone like Negroponte, because Negroponte is a death squad organizer.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know what his, if the stories are true, and I saw the same source as you did, I'm sure, if the stories are true, that he doesn't feel that an adventure in Iran is a good idea right now. I don't know. Maybe if you check back far enough, you'll find out that Negroponte is Farsi for... Hi, I've still got family back there. You know, I have no idea what his motives are if the stories are true.
I don't either. But
now,
when I first heard they
moved in the State Department and put him in a position under Condoleezza Rice, I just assumed it was because they were making her irrelevant, and that the real power was going to be Negroponte, that she would still remain the figurehead. But they didn't trust Rice because she is she's kind of a dummy on the one hand and not as bloodthirsty on the other as certain members of the Bush crime family. So, you know, on this one,
I don't know, birth pangs of the Middle East, you know.
Well, on this one, you kind of place your money and take your bets on who is really in charge of the State Department now. Is it Negroponte?
Yeah.
Or is it Rice? Or are the stories that you and I have seen that Negroponte was tossed out on his elbows and let him save a little face because he didn't agree with the Bush crime family? I don't know. It's either one or the two.
Yeah. And the other thing I just wanted to say was that you really have a great fan in Lynn Samuel. She talks about you a lot.
Yeah, I like listening to her program. she is funny. She's funny as hell. And she talks, you know, she's got that Brooklyn... Excellent.
Oh,
I don't know what the hell
is going on with these goddamn people? Yeah, only she gets a little gamier than that. I love listening to her.
Yeah, and then half the time, you know, she's talking about shopping. She's saying, I just can't do this. I can't talk about this man anymore.
I know. She'll be talking about atrocities in Iraq and veer off into her latest trip to Bloomingdale's.
Yeah,
and really, you can get whiplash listening to the program. We met her in New York when we were up there talking with Sirius.
Yeah, she has mentioned that.
Kathy and me and Molly. And she's a hoot. She's an absolute hoot. And she looks just like she sounds.
There's one other thing that's really disturbing that's happened that I'm sure you've heard about is the recent ousting of the federal attorneys and the replacement of them.
Yeah, we haven't gotten to that story. I've got it here in the stack.
That's
but
really freaky.
It is. It is
really
indeed.
Freaky.
These people, I'm telling you, and you know this, I don't mean I'm telling you, but we're telling each other, and everybody knows, Bush has made it clear he doesn't care. What anyone wants, what the laws are, what the rules are, what the Constitution says, what the military wants, what the voters want, he doesn't care. He doesn't care.
No, and these attorneys that he's ousting are, one of them was in San Diego who was continuing the investigations into the Duke Cunningham thing.
Right.
Which was going to nail other Republicans.
Oh, can't have that.
And that's what a lot of people are saying, that these people are going after, you know, the truth. And so he's getting rid of them and he's replacing them with the one he just did here in Arkansas. He replaced with a guy that was digging up all the dirt on Gore during the 2000 election. He's an RNC guy.
Yeah.
And you know, now he's a federal attorney here in Arkansas.
The Bush and Cheney have got to be removed from office.
They've got to.
They have to be. Or even if Democrats get the White House and the Congress next election, the damage these people are doing to this republic is
it's still two more years.
It's incalculable what they're doing.
And what they can do in two more years.
That's right. They have to. I wish Reid and Pelosi would wake up, at least impeach him. I doubt that the Senate would convict him, but at least impeach him. And who knows, maybe there are 65 senators who realize that the survival of this, or 66, that the survival of this republic is more important than the survival of the Republican Party. Hey, thanks, Alice.
Hey, you're welcome, Mike.
All right, take care. We'll talk again.
Bye.
And thanks to you, Truth Seeker, for hanging out with us tonight. I appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.